Hi, I'm Maggie Brennan, music director here at WCBE. We're excited to announce our new web exclusive, Live from Studio A Replay, where you can listen to some of our best Studio A sessions. We're dedicated to bringing you great music from around the world and from right here in Central Ohio. And that type of extraordinary service is only possible with your support. So please, consider making a donation of any amount by clicking the red donate button at the top of the page and keep the music going. And we thank you for your support.
We're live in Studio A with Jorma Kaukonen. He's touring in support of his new album, Blue Country Heart. Also joining him, Cindy Cashdollar and Barry Mitterhoff. They perform tonight at the Thirsty Air Tavern. Hi, everybody. Thanks.
Hey, how are you?
Thanks
how
for
you
coming.
Doing? Thanks for having us.
And we'll give some tickets away and a copy of this new CD after we hear this first song. What are you going to do?
We're going to do a Delmore Brothers song called Blue Railroad Train. Would you like us to just launch right into it?
You go.
All right.
Well, I'm
Train, live from Studio A. It's Yorma Kalkanen on guitar, along with Cindy Cashdollar on the dobro and on mandolin, Barry Mitterhoff. One of the songs is on the new album.
You bet.
Blue Country Heart. And all of these songs are pretty much the 20s and 30s versions.
Yeah, pretty much. They're all pretty much from there. There's one Delmore Brothers song, Blue Stay Away From Me, which I believe is from the early 50s or the late 40s.
So what made you decide to do an album like this?
Oh.
Have you always wanted to and you just
well,
never did?
You know, I've always liked this music. I kind of started out playing and never really got serious about it when I was a kid, but I've always really enjoyed it. And when I had the opportunity to actually make an album for a real record company, and they said I could call pretty much anybody I wanted to call, I went, well, that's exactly what I want to do. So,
and four of the cuts are from, or the ones that Jimmie Rodgers, the singing brakeman, originally
right.
did. Were you partial? Are you partial to him?
Well,
in that genre?
Actually, that's yeah. I mean, everybody that likes his stuff is partial to Jimmy. Jimmy's the man. There's no question about it. I've even been to his museum down there in Mississippi and stuff. And that was on one of the first records I heard when I was a kid. My dad had a copy of Lefty Frizzell Sings, the songs of Jimmie Rodgers. So it's just been with me for a long time.
And Sam Bush, Bela Fleck, Jerry Douglas,
Correctamundo,
and Byron. And how are they all in Nashville?
They're all around. Yeah. For all practical purposes, yes, they're all in Nashville. Yeah.
Is that why you recorded in Nashville instead?
Well, no. I mean, the studio that I wanted to record in was there, but you know, if you're going to play this kind of music, you got to record it in Nashville.
And so, who'd you call first? And
well, who did I call first? I think I called Byron first actually because I know him the best, and then he encouraged me to call everybody else.
And so you also. When did the Fur Peace Ranch form? That was in 98?
Yeah, the Fur Peace Ranch opened in 98. We started building it in 97, right? But we're into the end of our fifth year now. Time flies.
Did that have something to do, did the Wavy Gravy Camp inspire you in that?
Absolutely. In the early 90s, I was a guest instructor at Wavy's Camp Winter Rainbow. We use the term loosely, the adult week, which is what they use as a shakedown before they bring the kids in for the rest of the summer. And they have all the kid counselors constantly complain about how slow the adults are and stuff like that. But that's another story. But Wavy, you know, he just had lots of really cool people there to teach and lots of interactive things. And he taught me the importance of having a great kitchen.
Very nice. And that's, you used to be really, really thin, I read, and then you're a chef.
Wait, that could have had something. That could have had something to do with it. No, I don't deny that. I don't deny that. That there's nothing wrong with a hearty meal.
That wasn't an insult.
No.
You're still quite thin.
Oh, you need glasses here.
Anyway, the Fur Peace Ranch. How do you sign up for the camp? And
well, the best thing to do really would be to go online. That would be www.furpeacerance.com because it's got everything. You can download applications online, or you can call 740-992-6228 and talk to Ginger. But the online thing, because they have all kinds of neat little stuff. It's a cool website.
Do you have, who are some of the instructors that you have?
Well, we've had Cindy, for example. We're going to have Barry next year. We've had G.E. Smith, Rory Block, Guy Davis, Guy Clark. Wow. We've just had...
Chris Smither?
Pardon?
Is Chris Smither there for one?
Oh, Chris is there every year. We just have lots of really great people.
And the sessions run through from
the sessions start on Friday morning. And they run through Monday morning. We finished a 200-seat theater down there, so usually we have the instructors are there to do a show on a Saturday night. And we do other shows, too, outside the ranch schedule.
Very nice. Yorma Kalkanen, he's live from Studio A. Can you play another one for us right now?
We could. We've decided to dip into the Jimmie Rodgers song folio. Now we're hung up on trains this morning, so we'll do Waiting for a Train. All around the water tank, waiting for a train. 1,000 miles away from home, sleeping in the rain. Well, I went up to a brakeman. Give him a line of talk. Said if you got money, then you won't have to.
put me off in Texas, state I dearly love. Wide open space all around me, moon and stars up above. Nobody seems to want me, lend me a helping hand. I'm on my way from Frisco, going back to Dixieland. Well, my pocket book is empty, and my heart is full of pain. I'm 1,000 miles away from home, waiting.
Version of Jimmy Rogers, Waiting for a Train. It's off the new album from Jorma Kalkin and Blue Country Heart. I'm going to give a CD away right now and a pair of tickets for tonight's show at the Thirsty Ear Tavern. We'll take caller number 5-821-9223. Jorma Kalkin live in Studio A. Going back some years, born in D.C., grew up overseas.
Yep.
And was that where you picked up the guitar first and to keep
Actually,
you occupied?
I picked up the guitar first in D.C., really. In the generation I grew up, every kid took piano lessons. I actually had the choice of piano or accordion, and for some reason, actually I do know, the accordion is more expensive. We already owned a piano, so I took piano lessons. But I, when I got turned on to the guitar, I guess probably around 53 or 54, I just really fell in love with the instrument, and I loved listening to people play. I had a chance to see Segovia play when I was a kid at Constitution Hall and all this stuff, and I just went, whoa, that's really cool. You can carry that instrument around, and it sounds really cool.
And who taught you mostly the finger-picking style that you do, the Piedmont
right.
and other?
Well, the guy that actually, the first guy that I took lessons from was a classical player named Sophocles Pappus in D.C., and he was repulsed by my choice of music. And to try to channel me, Red River Valley and this old man, he played one song. So I didn't stay with him for very long. But later on, when I finally met some guy that played what I wanted to learn, I was going to school in Ohio at Antioch College. You know, that's just up the road
just
here.
Right.
And his name was Ian Buchanan, and he was already an accomplished fingerstyle player, and he knew the Reverend Gary Davis quite well. So I couldn't afford the $3 an hour that the Rev was charging in those days, and Ian did it for free. So he really took a bunch of time out and spent a quarter or two when I probably should have been studying, but actually learned something instead taught me how to play the guitar.
So after you came back or moved back to the
right.
U.S. after you were overseas,
right.
moved to San Francisco and started playing with Janis Joplin.
Yeah, that was in 61 or 62. Yeah, you say that you played with people. It sort of implies that you had a full-time band going on. And, of course, it's really not like that. But I was very fortunate that I did get to play with her. And there are a bunch of tapes floating around because some of them are pretty cool. I was at a hootenanny when the first weekend that I moved to Santa Clara, and Janis showed up. And just a bunch of what became later the San Francisco Luminaries were there. And she didn't really play. And she was doing a bunch of Memphis mini songs. And I kind of knew how to play them. So I went, whoa. And I remember she started singing. And I went, whoa.
Where you saw her or played with her maybe once or twice
right.
was the same place where you met Jerry Garcia and Pigpen?
The same place, yeah. Later on it was called the Offstage, but I think originally it was called the Folk Theater. It was on First Street in San Jose, California. Wow.
Jerry Garcia, he would have been 60 today. Is there a particular
yes.
moment, favorite of yours that you remember?
Well, let me think. God, there are so many of them. I do remember. Jerry played in bands. He played in bluegrass bands and jug bands, and he really knew a lot about the band dynamic. And I came into the rock and roll thing from being a finger picker. And when you play by yourself, you just play. That's all you have to do. You don't have to worry about other people's stuff. And I remember I was learning how to play in the airplane, and I decided I was learning how to play some rhythm guitar stuff, and I figured out all this stuff, and I had all these what I thought were really cool rhythm sounds, and I played it for Jerry. Jerry, check this out. And he said, that's the worst rhythm I've ever heard in my life. He said, it's not what you play that's important, it's what you don't play. And I went, okay, let me think about that for a while. That was funny. Yeah. Jerry would have liked being alive today. All this wooden music stuff was right up his alley.
Great. Jorm Kalkinen, live from Studio A again. He performs tonight. I'm going to give one more pair of tickets away for the seventh caller this time at 821-9223. From Jefferson Airplane to Hot Tuna. Hot Tuna still does some things, and
yes,
there's one going to be at the Fur Peace Ranch this summer?
We have many incarnations. This particular one is me, Jack, and my friend Michael. It's our acoustic trio incarnation, and I believe it's August 17th.
August 17th at the Fur Peace Ranch. And again, furpeaceranch.com?
Yes, and it's spelled F-U-R-P-E-A-C-E because it's a fur piece from anywhere.
They say that you're not supposed to remember the 60s if you were there. What's your take on that?
What is my take on it? Well, it's a catchy little phrase. I do remember. I know what they mean. And yeah, there's some truth. There certainly is some truth in that. But the good news is you might not remember everything, but you can still, if you can't tell a good story, you can make something up. And nobody can deny it. Well, I remember the time that Jerry and I played on that flying saucer.
Jorm Kalkinen, he's live from Studio A. I want to thank you guys so much for
coming
by. And what's this last one you're going to do?
All right. Well, this is a song by that deep-thinking political pundit Slim Smith. And the song is called Breadline Blues.
latest news that struck me funny. Did you have no friend? If you haven't got money,